हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 41, Chapter 3, Liberation from the Illusory Energy. Okay. On the other hand, if one executes the regulative activities prescribed in the Vedas without attachment and offers a result of such work to the Supreme Lord, one attains perfect freedom from the bondage of material work, right? One gets liberated. So that's the point, is taking the work without attachment and offering it, that will liberate you. That's just what's given. Now, it's that devotion that's done, that's what will give you prema. Right? In other words, work without desire for the result, that will get you liberation. And that work done to please Krishna, you know, him as a person, that will give you prema. Does that make sense? Like in chanting the holy name, Nama Bas will give you liberation, Shuddha Nam will give you prema. Right, so the liberation is already included in the process. Mm-hmm. He's taking his bucket and going home. Or? No, it's okay. Okay. The material fruit of results offered in the revealed scriptures are not the actual goal of Vedic knowledge, but are meant for stimulating the interest of the performer. Right? So the point is that the activities they're giving, those are so the ones inspired. It's something interesting because you have a conditioning. That conditioning then means you like to work in that field. So doing something interesting in that field, you're inspired. But the whole point is to do that work without attachment and do it to please Krishna. But you're inspired anyway. Right? If a conditioned soul worships the Supreme Lord Hari by following the regulations found in Vedic literature, such as the Tantras, he will quickly become free from the bondage of false ego. Right? So the regulations, because when you regulate something, that's when it becomes materially less interesting. But at the same time is the technicality that's there in these literatures and the benefits you can get. Does that make sense? So the more it's regulated, the more benefit you get. But by regulating it, it makes it easier to be detached. Does that make sense? Like that. So we see the Vedas are so nicely made that they balance out very, very well here. Does that make sense? To get what you want materially from the Vedas, you have to regulate yourself and be detached anyway. Because that's how you get it. You don't get something because you're not austere. It's because you're austere. Like that. Does that make sense? I don't know if you have, just what example comes to mind. I don't know that it would mean anything to any of you, but in America they have this thing called Black Friday. Right? So Black Friday means that they're going to sell everything at ridiculously low prices. So now you can go to the shop, you know, it opens, let's say, at 9 o'clock. You can go at 9 o'clock on the day, but there'll already be 1,000 people in the shop, probably nothing left. Right? So people start camping outside the store beforehand, at least from the night before, if not more than that. You know, just waiting for that time, right? And so because of that austerity, then they're the first ones in. Yeah, of course. I'm not sure what the austerity of the guy that opens the door, what he gets from all that. You know. So the whole point is what you want anything, it's austerity. Right? But here it's just whimsical. But in the Vedas, it's regulated. It's scientific. It matches with the philosophy. It matches with devotional service. That's the perfection of it. So one's inspired by those things. But it's that you're interested to work in that area. But the real point is this, in a detached way, offering that to Krishna. That's what you're trying to get to. Right? So then if one follows these things, then very quickly it'll work. Right? When a devotee obtains the mercy of his spiritual master, who reveals to him the injunctions of Vedic scriptures, he worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the particular personal form he finds most attractive. In this way, the devotee quickly becomes liberated from all material bondage. Right? So, what do we know about the Vedic literatures and about the processes? Right? So, that's revealed to us through the spiritual master. So, you see, Srila Prabhupada, the Acharyas, they've given us what is actually to be known. Otherwise, if we study the literatures, we'll never know. You know, as Prabhupada pointed out, that, you know, the introduction to Gita, there's like over 700 translations of Gita in English, and not one devotee has been made from those. But we see Bhagavad Gita as it is, that is there. Now, that thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people have come from that. Right? So then, because it's revealed what's the actual, by the mercy of the spiritual master, what are the injunctions? And then very quickly you become free from the bondage of false ego. Right? So, yeah. Shloka Anushanam, some of your verses. Verses 1 to 16. Maharaj Asnimi's third question, answered by Antariksha. 17 to 33. Maharaj Nimi's fourth question, answered by Prabuddha. Verses 34 to 40, Maharaj Nimi's fifth question, answered by Pipalayana. And verses 41 to 55, Maharaj Nimi's sixth question, answered by Abhihotra. Right? So there's nine yogendras, so there's, you know, that's what's in this chapter. So the next chapter we'll see the other three. Right? Okay, verses 1 to 16. Maharaj Nimi's third question, answered by Antariksha. King Nimi said, "Now we wish to learn about the illusory potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Vishnu, which bewilders even great mystics. My lords, please speak to us about this subject." "Although I am drinking the nectar of your statements about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, my thirst is not yet satiated. Such nectarian descriptions of the Lord and his devotees are the actual medicine for conditioned souls like me, who are tormented by the threefold miseries of material existence." Sri Antariksha said, O mighty armed king, by activating the material elements, the primeval soul of all creation has set forth all living beings in higher and lower species so that these conditioned souls can cultivate either sense gratification or ultimate liberation according to their desire. Right, so the Lord has made the creation for this purpose only. Its ultimate purpose is to get ultimate liberation, means devotional service, go back to Godhead. But in the meantime, the living entities will keep them busy, you know, striving for sense gratification, which won't work anyway. So at one point they'll get frustrated, right? And then when they do, then they'll strive for ultimate liberation. So that's the purpose of the creation. So the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The gunas should be defined by defining the effects of the gunas: creation, maintenance, and destruction. Maya, made of gunas, is defined by the gunas so defined. The Supreme Lord created all higher and lower beings. Right, so creation will be passion, maintenance will be goodness, destruction will be ignorance. Right, so following in the mode of goodness, the maintenance, then you will live a regulated lifestyle according to the Veda. And in this way, then you'll be elevated. So even if you want sense gratification, still, you'll get higher sense gratification because you're actually following the path to get out, just that you're not going far enough. You're only getting up to the heavenly planets and stopping. And then that was so nice, you go back and do it again and again and again like that. Or those who are in liberation, they go up to the part of that, the jnana, then they come back. So at some point, then you take that in pure goodness, then coming in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, as has been pointed out, that will be bring you to devotional service. Right? Creation, that's the mode of passion, that's going to create misery for you. So make anything, it will cause you problem. Right? That's just the way it works. Right? And then ignorance creates illusion, which is destruction. Right? So, yeah. So that's how Maya works.
So, yeah. Sometimes it is difficult to digest.
Yes. Means when you put a few more words and adjectives, it becomes more fluffed out, then it's more nice. But when it's just as it is, then yeah. So that's why you'll see they'll do both. You know, it's like, let us say, how many examples and how many cantos there are where they're talking about the glories of these great devotees in whatever position they're in. So they're kings, they're grihasthas, they're doing so many activities, but they're all surrendered to the Lord, they're doing everything connected to the Lord. Right? But at the same time, one may think, oh, then this is all right, I don't have to go farther than this. You might take things for granted, right? That little bit of illusion is still, mode of ignorance is still there. So then you'll have some chapters here and there, you know, it's too specific, and then here and there verses that tell it as it is what's actually going on. Like that. Does that make sense? So then it's like, oh, because then it puts it into context. But then you look at the other ones, for example, how you're going to apply it. So in other words, with the mentality you gain from the one, you apply it according to the form of the other. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, unless you're a Python sadhu or someone like that, then you're not going to be able to apply them as it's stated there. Right? So it's not important that it's applied that way. Point is that one understands the material nature cannot make you happy. That's what should be appreciated. But engaging your nature in Krishna service, it, you know, can, as it pointed out, be inspiring. Like that. And in that way, then one's inspired, one engages, then in this way one happily goes back to Godhead. So it's the devotional service that makes it nice. Because otherwise, all these things in scriptures, we've done them a million times already. Right? Because that's what samsar means. It's a circle. It comes back around. You know, so people say, you know, that I'm going somewhere. You know, you're on a journey. Yeah, you're on a journey from where you are all the way around the circle back to where you are. That's the journey. Right? So it says the real journey is then from this point, not going on that, and going out, going back to Godhead. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, the other ones are just like a detour off the top. It's just more of an ellipse instead of just a circle. You know, you go up, hit liberation, and then you come back down and go through. So, yeah. The Supreme Lord created all higher and lower beings, devatas, humans, animals, and plants, in order that the jivas could attain sense objects and also attain the Lord. Right, so all these things are there because one may say, well, how do you attain the Lord through all these others? One is that engaging the things of the material nature in the Lord's service, then you have activities to do and you can offer that to Krishna and that way become purified. Right? Does that make sense? The other thing is even if you do something wrong, then by going through the animal and plant species and all that, you get purified. Then you're able to come up and act within the human platform in a purified way. Right? The BBT purport states, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, the actual purpose of the Lord's creation is only one, to facilitate the advancement of devotional service to the Lord himself. Although it is stated that the Lord facilitates sense gratification, it should be understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not ultimately condone the foolishness of the conditioned souls. Lord facilitates sense gratification. Matra prasiddhaye. So that the living entities will gradually understand the futility of trying to enjoy without him. Right? Because we've come here with that idea. Then if it's available, you try it and then you see it doesn't work. Right? Then when the devotees come along and say, well, actually it should be done in this way, you know, in connection with Krishna, then we'll try that. And then we start to see, well, that has something more than the other. Then we'll gradually progress. Every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. In the Vedic literature, the Lord gives a regulative program so that the living beings can gradually exhaust their tendencies to be foolish and learn the value of surrender to him, unto him. Although there are apparently two purposes for creation, it should be understood that ultimately the purpose is one. So there's one primary and one secondary. The primary is to go back to Godhead, and the secondary is to facilitate us getting frustrated in avoiding the primary. Right? So, yeah. Although there are apparently two purposes for creation, it should be understood that ultimately the purpose is one. The arrangement for sense gratification is ultimately meant to bring the living entities to the single purpose of going back home, back to Godhead. Sri Antariksha continued, the supersoul enters the material bodies of the created beings, activates the mind and senses, and thus causes the conditioned souls to approach the three modes of material nature for sense gratification. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, three verses describe the situation after creation. Having entered the bodies created by the five gross elements as Paramatma, the Lord, dividing himself up to the mind and the 10 external senses, makes the jiva enjoy the sense objects produced by the gunas. Right? Because the point is for the soul, who's pure by nature on the liberated platform, engaging in sense gratification actually is not actually a real state of enjoyment. We project that if this happens, I'll be happy. But we can't say that the situation itself is a situation of happiness. Does that make sense? While we see in the spiritual world, then the living entities there, those are naturally, because they see everything connected to Krishna, and Krishna is, you know, the personification of bliss, and he is the ocean of rasa, then it does produce happiness. Right? Because he's connected to it. So, the activities of the spiritual world themselves also aren't the ones that cause the bliss. It's the connection of those things to Krishna that causes the bliss. Right? So, in other words, it's Krishna that is the cause of bliss. So, the living entity not interested in Krishna, they just want to deal with the mechanics that are there in the spiritual world. And then from doing that, they think, I'll be happy. So then you'll project. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we've seen all those who have surrendered to Krishna, and they come to this pure platform of devotion, then they all say that this is where the real taste is. And not that they haven't done all the other things, they've done. And many of them have been in a way better position than we have been. Right? It means you have, let's say, just take an extreme example. He ends up as the Dhritarasura.
Chitraketu.
Now if Chitraketu tells you that there is nothing of lasting value in family life, could you take him as an authority? Why? Sorry?
1 million.
One? I thought it was 10. 10 million wives. That's one lifetime. Right?
Maybe because of this.
Sorry?
Maybe because of this there was nothing lasting.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, as far as the ideas that you think, I think there was, I can't remember what it was from. Remember as a kid, there was this popular song was going around. It was, I think, by the Beach Boys. And it was about that there's two girls for each boy down at the beach. So many girls have gone there that there's so many girls that one boy gets two girls, you know, like that. So it was considered a very, you know, how you say, inspiring thing, at least to the boys. I don't know if the girls like the song, but at least the boys did. So here, 10 million wives. So then, you know, all aspects of family life he'll have tasted. And so nothing, he'll say, there's a problem there. Or then Narad Muni, he's talking about his previous lives. And so as the Gandharva, then he was hanging out with 50 girls and keeping them all entertained. Right? Like that. So he didn't run into a problem with that. He ended up, because he's totally distracted and not at all taking part in the Samkirtan. So you have so many personalities, the Goswamis, their position, the prime minister of a huge, actually, country. Because if you take Bengal, Bangladesh, the northeast and part of Assam, and that's what it is at that time, and the king is trying to get more. So you're talking about one of the, biggest population areas that there is. I mean, West Bengal, even though it's really small, there's 100 million people or more here. So compared to any other state, like that. So then you add in Bangladesh and all these other places, it's one of the most populated areas. So here's the prime minister and the treasurer of this, probably one of the biggest kingdoms there is. Right? It means if Raghunath Das, his uncles, they would collect themselves personally 2 million gold coins. And that's their cut. So imagine what was going to the Nawab. And what was going to the Nawab, that Rupa Goswami, he being the treasurer, was taken care of. Right? So if you think working at a Swiss bank is good, So you have individuals who have gone through, had position, had everything, all the six opulences, but they're not satisfied. They've taken up devotional service.
Why?
Yes.
Why do you want to check it out ourselves always?
You can, but the point is, why do we? Because we always have that idea, maybe if we just adjusted it, like this here. I try to like this, and it's so maybe if I turn it like this, now I'll enjoy. Now it's great. Now look at it, like that. And then that doesn't, I guess we could try like this, and that doesn't work. Then we could put it like that, but then that one, that then put it this way, and then it goes down there, and hey, that's how, then it goes on the floor, like that. And so then we can try it up at the top. So that's when we talk about mental speculation. You have two. You have one is the mental speculation that by becoming liberated I'll be happy. And the other is that by karma, if I keep adjusting, then I'll be happy. Because if you get it where it actually works perfectly, and then you always do that, then you get bored. And now what do you do? So then I have to take something new. And so that's the thing, is that where there's still that hope that maybe, as Prabhupada said, hope against hope, that maybe I'll get some enjoyment out of this. But it never really happens, because the point is what is there for the soul? Right? And so we projected, that's where we came back, now coming back to the point we were starting with, is that the spiritual world, because connecting it to Krishna is what actually is the bliss. The mechanics of it is not actually the bliss. It's just that, for interaction, then there is relation means when there's one, there'll be a certain amount of bliss. But when there's two, there's more bliss because of the interaction. And so then to just be there, then that can work very nicely. But then to make that just being together, then there's all the activities that go along with it. So the variety of activities, the excellence of the activities enhance the relationship. Right? So, all that's connected to Krishna, it works perfectly. We have the ideas that without Krishna, just these activities and interaction, that can create happiness. And so we try the mechanics. So we've tried, this way didn't work, what about that way? So basically Krishna's given us, we're thinking, how many things can we do with the rock? But Krishna gives 8,400,000 options. Way beyond what we can think of. Does that make sense? So because of that, then we get the opportunity to try all this, but still, it can't give anything to the soul. Because the soul being spiritual, what can it get from what's material, temporary, and unconscious? Right? So that means with time, then one has to surrender. Because it's just unviable. That's the thing. Because it's only part of the equation. You know, it'd be like going in and trying different recipes and different ingredients. There's so many different techniques and all this and that and different pots and different kitchens, you know, with different mediums of cooking and you know, just all the things, flying around the world to check out new and different ways of cooking and all that, but never eating the food. And then wondering why I'm not satisfied. Well, maybe if I cook this preparation, then I'll be satisfied. No, it's only when you eat it. So that's the whole point. It's when you do these activities not connected to Krishna, they won't give any nourishment to the soul. Right? They'll only work with the senses. The senses get inspired, but the senses are limited in what results they can give that's in, that that has satisfaction for the soul. Does that make sense? So, yeah. So that's the... So then we take it from those who have gone through these things. They point it out. They point out what's the weaknesses. They point out what's the benefits. How it's their experiences. So... Good.
Realization of to surrender to Krishna means we need to get that realization in order to surrender to Krishna.
Yes, but it can come incrementally, because the point is we're doing things that are spiritual, so they are giving an effect, mm-hmm. and we feel that effect, and so therefore we progress. But one should not be distracted, because then one might get distracted into something and get involved there, and then you waste time, because at some point you'll figure out that that was a waste of time, and then comparing that to the devotional, you see it's so much greater. Right? So in this case, it is actually greener on the other side. You know? Then you come with determination and that. Like Ajamil, he's engaged in activities, then he gives that up, he's distracted for a few years, then, you know, he gets a wake-up call when the Yamadutas show up, you know, to take him away and all that, and then he gets serious about his service. Like that. So, yeah.
We hear about such examples like Chitraketu and different examples in Bhagavatam. From whom should take lessons and actually think of...
Who should we take lessons from?
We should take lessons from these and we should apply. However, we keep on trying our best, you know, as you explained the rock example, different ways. You know, we are very optimistic that yes, if not with someone else, but with me, you know, it can take place, it will happen.
But has it? Means if it has, why are we sitting here? Right? We'd be out enjoying ourselves and be successful. But the problem is if you analyze, no one's enjoying. Even they're successful. So that's the thing, is that whatever situation we say, this one I'll be happy in, there's someone else that's in the process of rejecting that and coming up with a new idea. Remember, it's all the modes of nature. So the modes of nature have everybody going around. So let's say we're at 100, you know, 180 degrees, okay? So now we get tired of 180 and we move to 181 and then new, fresh. But there's someone else moving from 179 to 180. Oh, new and fresh. You know, it's like the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. You just keep moving around, and because it's a new spot, a new cup, then, you know, you think it's great. But it's the same cup that, you know, the other guy just drank from. So does this mean Alice in Wonderland is spiritual? No. You understand? So the whole point is that these things, whatever we say, that's why it says chewing the chewed. Because whatever you're coming as new, someone else has rejected that. You know, even in the one of the devotees or the physicist was saying that in the scientific field, whatever, let's say, quantum throws out, chemistry takes up as the new theory, and what they threw out, biology takes up as the new theory, and this, so they're constantly just, each one is, because they can't find the answer they want, what's the cause of the universe, so they try different things, they keep going around in a circle, and whatever they remove, so another department, discipline is coming up and taking that as the newest and latest. So it's happening everywhere. Whatever is in fashion, whatever you drop, then someone else is taking that up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like the fusion food, they put Indian things into that, you know, but the Indians, they've been eating it forever, and now they're trying the Western food, you know, so it's just, it just keeps going around in a circle. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So whatever's there, it's all, you just, you know, pleats are in, pleats are out, you know, pleats are back in, pleats are again out. You know, three pleats are in, no, pleats are out. Two pleats are in, pleats are out. One pleats in, pleats are out. You know what I'm saying? So it just keeps going. It's just whatever anybody can pull off, that's what works. You just try something different, and it works. And then it stops working. So that's the whole point, is whatever mental speculation we have that we can come up with, we're only working within the modes of nature. So it's only what's provided by the modes. And the modes of nature are just running you around in a circle. That's why it's called samsara. It's a big circle, a lot of variety, but it's still a circle. Right? 14 planetary systems and 8,400,000 species of life. That's what's going on.
So is it that when you pick up the ocean of souls, then, although we hear it from so many years, you know, as you explain this concept, has something big to happen in the life of a devotee, then he will take it really seriously about devotional service.
Big can mean just a nice kirtan, just getting that, somehow or another, just surrendering, and then being by Krishna's grace, able to appreciate the result.
I mean the negative sense, not in the positive way.
But why does it have to be negative? You know, I mean, do we have to have a, I don't know how you say it, but less miserables or something like that? Does it have to be that? You know? Do we need a Harishchandra scenario for us to get serious? I mean, don't worry, the modes of nature can arrange so many things like that. But the point is, negatives are already there. That's why we've taken up Krishna consciousness. And then if we stagnate, then negatives again can bring us forward. Point is, if you're conscious, then you'll be aware. And if we become unconscious, then we will think something else. So the modes of nature will give us variety. And then when we try that for a while, like I've seen sometimes devotees, they go out. But generally, on an average, means they, you know, those who really go out, they're back in 10 years. And really, really tough cases, 20 years. But generally, always 10 years they're back. Most will be sooner than that. But these are, you know, whatever it is, and 10 years they're back. So I'm just saying how, you know, because material nature, just as it didn't have anything to offer and you took up Krishna consciousness, if you go back to it, it still doesn't have anything. It's the same pile of garbage. You look through, nothing here, then you go out, so then you go back to that pile of garbage. It's still got the same stuff. Nothing new is there. Right? Maybe some new potato peels, but it's the same, it's garbage. That's why it's there. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah.
Jiva Goswami mentions that there are two kinds of surrender. One is you go to Krishna and say, Krishna, I am yours, I am completely dependent. And the other kind of person is one who sees there is no other shelter, then he comes and takes shelter of Krishna. In either case, the result is the same for them.
Okay. Huh? Yeah, so he says both of them give the same result. Means you just see the you're impressed by the Krishna conscious, by Krishna and his qualities and everything, and the example of the devotees, you just surrender to Krishna. Just say, what do you say? Krishna, I'm yours, and you do with me as you please. And the other is that after so much difficulty, one sees that there's nothing else other than Krishna, and you surrender. But both of them give the same results. So whether you take it up from the positive or whether you have to go through the negative, either way, if you surrender, it's the same. So it always says surrender. It doesn't say that, what's the condition.
Yeah, because the question came up because devotees say that they are very absolutely cool in their lives and everything is really smooth, and even the devotional life is like really not, they're not too much worried about it. It's
so then be happy. So then, wait, why would it be smooth? Right? Unless Krishna is happy, why would it be smooth? So then you keep focused and be absorbed. And then it will continue. But if you take it for granted or don't focus, then we'll see that it starts heading south. Right? And I don't mean Madras south. I mean... right? Sri Antariksha continued, the individual living being, the master of the material body, uses his material senses, did we read this? No. Which have been activated by the supersoul, to try to enjoy sense objects composed of the three modes of nature. So it's been activated by the supersoul. So we're thinking, I'm being independent, doing what I like. The supersoul still has to activate them and make them work. Right? You know, it's just like, You know, I do whatever, I'm in my house, I'm the lord of my house, I do whatever I like in my house, I'm the master of my house. But as long as the city provides the electricity and the water and the gas and everything like that, then you can be the master of your house. But if they turn off the electricity, then how much master are you of your house? Okay. No idea what that is. Does that make sense? So, thus he misidentifies the created material body with the unborn eternal self and becomes entangled in the illusory energy of the Lord. Impelled by deep-rooted material desires, right? Because it means they go back since time immemorial. Like, because eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, this is common. All living entities, they're evolved in this. Right, so it's quite habitual. It's quite deep rooted, right? You know, every living entity has parents. You know, they're always looking for shelter. You know, all these things, they're all going on. So yeah, the embodied living entity engages his active sense organs in fruitive activities. He then experiences the results of his material actions by wandering throughout this world in so-called happiness and distress. Footnote 14. The living entity in material nature thus follows the way of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. Right, because depending on how you want to enjoy the senses, will give you a particular species to enjoy through. Because a human is meant for certain kind of activity and enjoyment. And if we want to go outside of that, the human's actually not very good at it. Right? It's a problem. Like let's say, if you get intoxicated as a human, then you can get a, what is it called? DUI? Is that how you say it? Yeah. Now, when it's in certain seasons and all that, and there's certain fruits on the trees that go, you know, they fall on the ground and get funny, like this, and the elephants eat them and they get intoxicated, are they ever going to get a DUI? No. So therefore, they do better in this state than anybody else. Does that make sense? Right? And if they just go and sit down somewhere, they're not a vagabond just in the street and all that. Because the whole place out there is where they live. So they don't have the same problems. You understand? So that's the whole thing, is that all these different things that one wants to do, that there's a point at which it's actually not the recommendation for the human. And so if that's what your interest, then an animal species will give you a much better opportunity. Right? Like that. You like changing houses often? You know, then birds, how quickly they build a house. Right? Or spiders, you know, how quickly they set up a net. And then if they need, then they move off. They can even wind it back up in themselves and take it away with them. Right? You know, you make this house and you want to take it with you. You can't do it. They can. Right? So all these mentalities, that they're fine. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj, can we say that the only the human are working?
Only the human are?
Working.
Working?
Yes. Because the other people are only for keeping making depending.
But when people work their money, what will they do with it?
For that, yes.
For eating, sleeping, mating, depending. Yes. Right? That's where you spend your money.
Yes. But this means the animals are not fixed on, can say, on working like the human being.
No, they work. It's just that they don't have to have all these extra things to function. Right? The bird lives in the forest. From the forest, his whole livelihood is there. But does he just sit there and the bug flies into his mouth? No, he has to go chase the bug.
Yes.
Right? Yes. See, because you do your occupation the way you do, then you can pay your money, sit down and eat the samosa, and the samosa is not going to fly off. Yes. Right? But the bug... I mean, the bird, his payment for his food is chasing it. Like that. So it's just a different... That's why the humans have a different method. But no, they all have what they do. You know, it's just like the cows are chewing grass all day. But they have to go out and chew the grass. The grass doesn't come to them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so you have to work. They have to chew. You know? So everybody does. It's just easy for them. The nature they have without training, they don't have to go to 20 years to school to be able to, you know, get something to eat. Here it's just immediately from very small, then they are able to take care. So that's the thing. Krishna's taking care of everybody. And the humans, if they follow their system, Krishna's taking care of them also. Yeah. They may get it in a different way. They may cook it, you know, all these different things.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But if the human don't follow the system, it's very complicated.
Very complicated, very difficult. Mm-hmm. It gets more and more difficult as you go, because they complicate it. Mm-hmm. It's not actually so complicated. It's people make it complicated. Mm-hmm. In the name of making it easier, they make it harder. Mm-hmm. You know? Okay. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, "Then the living entity continues in samsara, performing actions accompanied by vasanas, or impressions. Using the action senses, karma bihi, the jiva attains the results of action in the form of happiness and distress, and enjoys, since it is seen that one even enjoys being born in hellish situations." Like, is it those situations, they find their enjoyment there. You know, it's a hellish situation, you're out on the street, but the kids, they find they play there in the street. They're happy. Right? You know, your occupation's there. People that walk by, you pick their pockets, and so, you know, it's like it's like other people have to go to work. Here, work comes to you. You know, it's like, so it's all happening. But the situation isn't ideal. Right? Sri Antariksha continued, "Thus the conditioned living entity is forced to experience repeated birth and death. Impelled by the reactions of his own activities, he helplessly wanders from one inauspicious situation to another, suffering from the moment of creation until the time of cosmic annihilation." So that means for the whole lifetime of Brahma. "When the annihilation of the material elements is imminent, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his form of eternal time, withdraws the manifested cosmos, consisting of gross and subtle features, and the entire universe vanishes into non-manifestation." Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, "The distress..." So here is that they're saying it goes back into to you know, basically nothingness, but they can't explain what that nothingness is. That means it goes into the Lord. Right? Because nothingness is actually what's on the other side. It's the Lord. So there's no such thing as actually nothingness. Here you'll see it's nothing. But it's non-manifestation. So it's just the energies themselves without the specific manifestations. But the energies exist. Otherwise, then, when you say in the law of physics that energy is never ends, it's always just transforms. So that means even if it goes not manifest, that means it transforms into a non-manifest state. The energy still exists, but in a non-manifest.
So you can say that the energy has become more subtle because it is non-manifest.
It means you say it's taking on the subtle nature. You don't have the gross aspects, but it's not that all these elements aren't there. Like, everything here is made out of the 24 elements, but Pradhan is the most subtle. But at the same time, it has all these elements in it. It's just not put together like this. Right? So we don't have to get into that so much. Right? We shouldn't look at... We'll just harass our brain looking at that. We should be looking at is that the Lord, when it's time, winds everything up back into Him, so there's nothing you can do about it. And then when it's time for it to manifest, it manifests, and then you're put back in these species of life, wandering from one situation to another. And then you'll enjoy and suffer, you know, generally ends up in suffering, until it winds up again, and then again it goes back up into the Lord. And the Lord can do this all day. Right? Like for Him, it's just breathing. Like that. You know? That's it. You know? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, the destruction is described in 8.5 verses. When destruction of the material elements takes place, time pulls the products composed of gross and subtle matter into the cause, Prakriti. So, just as time entered Prakriti and then all these came out, time will again pull them all back into Prakriti. Mm-hmm. And then time will rest with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right? Sri Antariksha continued, as cosmic annihilation approaches, a terrible drought takes place on Earth for 100 years. Okay, that's a drought. For 100 years, the heat of the sun gradually increases, and its blazing heat begins to torment the three worlds. Beginning from Patala Loka, a fire grows, emanating from the mouth of Lord Sankarsana. Its flame shooting upward, driven by great winds, it scorches everything in all directions. Hordes of clouds called Samvartika pour torrents of rain for 100 years, flooding down in raindrops as long as the trunk of an elephant. That's a big raindrop. Like that. Definitely knock your car off the road, so yeah. The deadly rainfall submerges the entire universe in water. Right, so first it burns it up, then it submerges it in water. Yes.
I mean, for 100 years, if there's drought, that person is dead already.
So, yeah, but then you can live off of each other. It's like Creamy Bojan. You know Creamy Bojan? No? Creamy Bojan?
26th chapter, 5th canto.
Yes, that one. Creamy Bojan, there's this lake. In this lake, all there is worms. That creamy is the Sanskrit for worm. And there's nothing else in this lake but worms. So all the worms do is eat each other.
So just to make sure that everybody's dead, then it pours rain for 100 years?
No, it's just part of the process. Because, you know, you're going to do it, you're going to do it big. Right? So you burn everything up, because it's all been burned, you need to cool it down, so then it rains. Right? So it's submerged in water, then being submerged in water. It's just like if you take something and you've done something with it, let's say like clay, you know, then it has a shape. But if you submerge it in water for long enough, now you can do something else with it. So it's just the creation's been there, now you submerge it, now you can do... Okay?
Actually, when it is submerged in water, the earth element completely goes out. So first you heat any strong metal, first you heat, and suddenly you cool it, then it becomes completely brittle. Everything breaks apart.
Okay.
Solid.
So if you heat it and then
immediately cool it.
And then cool it. Oh, okay. Saying if you heat something up and then you cool it suddenly, then it will... It breaks apart. It falls apart.
It's
a little physics. Yes. Flooding down in raindrops. Okay. Then Viraja Brahma, the soul of the universe, universal form, Viraja Brahma, gives up his universal body, O king, and enters into the subtle, unmanifest nature, like a fire that has run out of fuel. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, after the jivas are merged, The total of all jivas, Vairaja Brahma, merges into Prakriti, Avyaktam. Because some Brahmas are karmis, jnanis, or bhaktas, some Brahmas again take birth, some Brahmas attain liberation, and some Brahmas attain prema, and become associates of the Lord. That is the understanding gained from verses such as the following. Gita 8:10 says that from Brahma to the plants, all beings take rebirth. But it is also said, Brahmana sahate sarve samprapte prati shanchare parasyante krita mana pravishanti parampadam. Those who are in Brahma Loka with exalted status at the time of dissolution go directly to the supreme abode along with Lord Brahma. Kurma Purana 1:11-284. Right, so Brahma then gives up that position, so that secondary creation, all the primary creation within this universe, then it all wraps up. And then it all goes back into the Pradhan, because the primary creation, from Pradhan you get the primary creation, from that, then in each universe, then you get the secondary. Right, so the primary extends into the universe, up to when Brahma creates. So then that goes back into this universe, those Brahmas and everything, that goes back into Pradhan, that goes back into the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brahma is the first living entity to come.
And the last to go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the way it is. If you're managing something, you're the first one there and the last one to leave. Right? You know, so. And, you know, that's leadership. Right? Sri Antariksha continued. Deprived of its quality of aroma by the wind, the element earth is transformed into water, and water, deprived of its taste by the same wind, is merged into fire. Right, so then what makes the thing work, then that keeps coming, you know, it creates. So the dissolution will just be, you remove that, it'll go back into the last. You remove that, it keeps going back. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, having described the destruction of the totality of jivas, the product, the destruction of the causes, the elements, is described in reverse order of their creation. Yes, so this way we're talking about is the causes. So this is sort of the idea that we saw the Shankites, they get the idea that Prakriti is the cause. Yes. Because all these different things come out, the material cause, material nature can cause. So these are the causes, you know, that are there. As you know, I say, doing that activity on behalf of the Lord. So through his potencies, then they appear to be efficient causes, but actually they're only because of the Lord's potency. The Lord is the actual efficient cause, but he extends his energies, so they appear to that they're actually doing something, but in actually that they're not. Right? And then the material causes we see, those are coming out now. Those are all going back. So everything is winding up.
Yeah, so basically, whatever quality a particular element has, that is then separated out.
Yes. Because if earth doesn't have fragrance, then what makes it different from water? Mm-hmm. Right? And if water doesn't have taste, what's the difference with fire? Ever tried to taste fire? Right.
Fire, heat, and liquid. That is a good quality. I'm thinking of it. That sense.
But we're talking about water.
Yeah, water is taste.
Yeah, but in fire there's no taste.
Yeah.
Right, unless you're from Andhra and it's a very, very nice chili chutney. means when chili chutney there means straight chilies. Like that. You put a little bit of salt, a little bit of, you know, lemon or something like that just to bring it out. But it's just straight ground up chilies, that's it.
Yes.
What do you mean? No. You're saying, do they eat this? They first cooked the sabji with so much chili in it that it could probably kill a horse. Then you eat that and you have this chili chutney on the side. So you put that in your mouth, you're chewing, it's nice, and you take your finger and take a little of that and then you lick. No? Yes.
It's cold there? What's their problem?
It's called an adrenaline rush. Because that's what it does. It's just the body dumps tons of adrenaline and so then they go, woo. So, other than that, they're the only ones that can get taste out of fire, right? Yes. All of the living entities, no, they have to have water, right? So, yes.
When the destruction is happening, the jiva's own karma is
imposed. Yeah. It means it's just waiting there for because all these things go, but the karna sharir, or the desire I'm the controller and enjoyer, remains. Right? And so then, as soon as the next creation comes, it's the ways that you want to control and enjoy, then those opportunities are made again. So as you ended here, that's how you'll start again. Right? So in other words, if you were working at Donald's and then, you know, how you say, Ananta Sesh started the universal destructive power, then when it manifests again, you'll be there flipping burgers again. Yeah. But, though it may not be called McDonald's, it may be something, it may be called Wendy's or something, right? But okay, yeah.
The data is saved.
Sorry?
The data is saved.
The data is saved, yes. Other elements should be understood in the same way. So it just winds up like that. Sri Antariksha continued. Fire, deprived of its form by darkness, dissolves into the element air. When air loses its quality of touch by the influence of space, the air merges into that space. When space is deprived of its tangible quality by the Supreme Soul in the form of time, space merges into false ego in the mode of ignorance. My dear King, the material senses and intelligence merge into false ego in the mode of passion, from which they arose. And the mind, along with the demigods, merges into false ego in the mode of goodness. Right? So you have these three, and then there's the fourth. Then the total false ego, along with all of its qualities, merges into the Mahatattva. I have now described Maya, the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This illusory potency, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is empowered by the Lord for the creation, maintenance and annihilation of the universe, material universe. So he mentioned the creation, he mentioned, you know, just performing the activities, how they go around the universe, and now the destruction. So he wanted to know what's Maya. Maya is these three modes, and this is what happens with the three modes. So now he's described the whole thing. So it's not exactly the description that you would, how you say, the poets might be rendering, right? But this is actually what Maya is, right? This illusory potency is empowered by the Lord for creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material universe. Now, what more do you wish to hear? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, I have described Maya or Pradhan, characterized by three gunas. That this is a form of avidya is as understood from the second canto. Vitertam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani. Tad vidyad atmano mayam yata bhasho yata tamaha. One should understand my maya by whose power real objects are perceived through vidya and false objects are perceived through avidya. In relation to the self, just as light reveals objects and darkness hides them.
It says here that Pradhan, he described Pradhan, and before it says Mahatattva. We know there is a difference.
Yeah, well, go back into Mahatattva, and then Mahatattva goes back into Pradhan. So, in other words, once they've described one thing, then that's how all the others go. Just like they describe something and that goes up to here, then Vishnu says, like that, it goes on. Like that. So it'll be the same. Because it all has to go back to Pradhan. Because then the time, for it to be finished, then time element has to leave. So time, the jivas, the false ego will leave, and then it's just pradhan. Right? Then everything's merged into the Lord, and then it comes out again, and then the whole process starts again. The BBT purport states, King Nimi had expressed to the Navi Yogendras his fear of the illusory energy of the Lord and had requested a detailed explanation of Maya so he could avoid becoming a victim at her hands. Now Sri Antariksha, having described the illusory potency, is suggesting that the king acquire about the means to become totally free of Maya's influence. So now he's described he wanted to know what is Maya so he could avoid it. So now that he's described it, now he's suggesting that he ask now, what activity do you do to avoid it? Now that you have heard about Maya's influence, you should inquire about the process of becoming free of such influence. According to Sridhar Swami, that is the significance of Antariksha's question, Kim Bhuyash Shrotum Ichasi? What more do you wish to hear? Marjanimi's fourth question, answered by Prabhupada. So not only they answer the question, but they also answer in such a way that you are inspired what's actually the next step. Right? Because if you're interested, they're speaking. You're not interested, they're not speaking. Right? So Maharaj Nimi's fourth question, answered by Prabhupada. King Nimi said, O great sage, please explain how even a foolish materialist can easily cross over the material energy of the Supreme Lord, which is always insurmountable for those who are not self-controlled. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the king already knows that one can cross Maya by bhakti, for it was already said, right? Because that was the point. The Lord, being out of his kindness, then gave Bhagavad Dharma, because then even the fools can cross over Maya. For the jiva averse to the Lord, there will be samsara because of his absorption in the material coverings on the soul, arising from the Lord's maya. Samsara takes the form of identity with body and lack of identity with soul. Therefore, the intelligent person, taking guru as the Lord, as his Lord and very self, should fully worship the Lord with pure bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.37. Right, so that's going to be in the next question. However, seeing karmis who thought they were learned present in the assembly, the king asked the question, akritamabihi, means by persons with imperfect or slow intelligence. Since Amarkosh says Krita means complete, you should explain how foolish persons like karmis can easily cross Maya, which is difficult to cross by holding a dog's tail. The king asks this question while glancing towards the karmis present. Right, because he already has understood that it's by bhakti, so then how can they? And so then some other technical aspect will be there. That then these karmis can see also how they can be engaged in devotional service. Because otherwise, generally it's thought it's something separate. I'm doing my karma, then there's bhakti. You know, it's just like, you know, the family is there, I have the work, I have all my duties, and then there's devotional service. You know, so that's that. Or the jnanis, and they think, no, the knowledge is the thing, and all that, and the karma is not so important, like that. But the bhakti, that's something different also. But then those who are situated in devotional service, they understand bhakti is complete. Sri Prabhupada said, accepting the roles of male and female in human society, the conditioned souls unite in sexual relationships. Thus they constantly make material endeavors to eliminate their unhappiness and unlimitedly increase their pleasure. But one should see that they inevitably achieve exactly the opposite result. In other words, their happiness inevitably vanishes, and as they grow older, their material discomfort increases. It's just the way it works. Right? So that's what we were talking before about, you know. So if someone is thinking that it's only if there's some material disturbance, then we'll be Krishna conscious. All you have to do is be patient. It's coming. Don't worry. Plenty. Enough. You don't have to, you know, you can be satisfied.
Because of the old age.
Huh?
Because of the old age.
Yeah. Because they're thinking something drastic. I'm doing drastic stuff. Something drastic has to come. Getting old is drastic. You know, so now you can't do anything, but you want to do those things, but you can't, and then, you know. Yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, karmis do not cross maya at all. One should see this with discrimination. This is explained in three verses. Paka viparyasham means opposite results. So they don't cross. They're trying to cross and get to happiness. Right? Because what is the living entity trying to do? By karma, you're trying to get to unlimitedly, you know, increase their pleasure.
Yes.
So you go to that place that is amara, right? Deathless.
Yes.
So that's what we want. Eternally to be happy. Through karma, they're going to get it, but it goes up to a point, and then they end up being frustrated and get the opposite result. Right? So they're miserable. Then the jnanis, they want to cross over all miseries and that, you know, it says, eliminate their unhappiness. So the one is in their karma, there's obstacles and things that they don't like, they want to remove that and make unlimited increase their pleasure in karma. Go to the deathless place. They get to the heavenly planets, and then, you know, things run out there, and you're back here. The jnanis, then they want to cross over the material ocean, and they may get to the Brahman, but then you get bored there, and then you come back. Right? Does that make sense? The karmis didn't become bored. It's just, you know, how you say? They canceled their card. He can't buy anything anymore, right? And so then they come back. So that's the thing, is that they'll always get that. It will always come back. So only bhakti can take you beyond, because then you get situated in the real position of the soul. Srila Prabhuda continued, wealth is a perpetual source of distress. It is most difficult to acquire, right? There's the anxiety to get it. And it is virtual death for the soul. What satisfaction does one actually gain from his wealth? Similarly, how can one gain ultimate or permanent happiness from one's so-called home, children, relatives, and domestic animals, which are all maintained by one's hard-earned money? Right? Because point is your money is going into this, and what do you actually get? That's the thing. Point is, what does the soul get? There's the idea that it should be good, but in reality, what does one actually get? That's the whole point. So it ends up, it's miserable. And if nothing else, then you get old and can't enjoy it anyway. Right?
Yeah. So this happiness is only in the mind?
It's only in the mind. Because otherwise, as we said before, whatever it is that you want, someone else has already had and given it up as not very worthwhile. And whatever you're giving up to take that new thing, there's someone else accepting that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it means literally, it's like the, you know, Mad Hatter's Tea Party. Right? So that's why it says chewing the chewed. It's just like, if you take sugar cane and you squeeze it, right? Then there's no juice in it. But if you take it and you take it and suck on it a bit, you'll get some little flavor there. And you go, ooh, this is nice. That's what's going on in the material world. And then you give up, there's no taste anymore. Then the next guy comes along and goes, ooh, yeah, a little bit of flavor. So there's no pleasant way to explain this part of the philosophy. Yeah. Because it's as it is, and as you give it more poetry and make it more romantic, you're actually being covered by illusion. Like that. That's why it seems better. You know, it's just like, does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, it means when sitting there in the audience waiting for the show to start. Right, you know, there's all your things, your life is there and everything, and you've come to get away from all that. But, you know, your phone's there, and all the things are there, the other people are there, other guys are there, people are doing crazy things all around you, so it's not nice. Then finally it starts, and then what happens? What's the show? Is it reality? No. It's some aspect of illusion, something connected with the senses. And so then forgetting all, then you think, oh, this is very great. And then the show will end, you know, it was a very nice experience, and then the reality of, you know, having to get out through all these people out to the parking lot and try to get out before everybody else. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the way it works. So by the illusion, then you think everything's great, and then the illusion, as it pulls back, then you see it's not. So that's what's happening, is that these different things, illusion takes over, the destruction, then passion comes up, and there's some goodness is maintained, and then, so the modes are just constantly fighting with each other. And I'm not sure how Krishna says in Gita, but each one, they're trying to take the predominant role, so they're all, and so that's what's going on over and over again.
Fighting.
Yes. Yes, and we get the benefits. One should know that the objects of this world and the next, produced by karma, are temporary, just like the existence of kings who compete with equals, envy superiors, and lament because of defeat. Right? So all these different things, that's what's going on. You okay? Or?
Lamenting.
Yeah, lament because of defeat. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. So this is just so that one is clear what it is. So why this example? Someone who's too attached to karma, this breaks that it's not so good. Like that. But we're stubborn. But it makes it not so good. Yeah, we find some other like that. We find, but this verse says it's all right. Like that. Yeah, so that's what it's for, it's to break that attachment. But the application, when whatever situation one in, one performs the duties, but now one does it to please Krishna, right? Here, like wealth, it's a perpetual source of distress. But the point is that one is engaging the wealth and the endeavor for wealth and the engagement of the wealth in Krishna's service. So then, where's the problem? But the problem is because there's no problem because you're engaging in Krishna's service. But if you don't, the mechanics of wealth are in anxiety. But when they're connected to Krishna, they're no longer in anxiety. So meaning the activities that are there in the spiritual world, then all the living entities are connecting them to Krishna. So there's no problem. It's perfect. But those living entities who decide they want to enjoy these facilities separate from Krishna, then there's only going to be distress because the things themselves don't produce enjoyment. There's some, experience of the senses, but that doesn't mean it's enjoyment, because enjoyment comes from Krishna. So that is there, but it always will end up in distress because it's temporary. It's not like, because it's only meant to produce something, and then that's over, and then you go on to the next aspect of service and the next aspect, right? So if you're looking at the eternal platform, every day you're cooking for Krishna, then it's a wonderful way of eternally being able to serve Krishna. But when you remove Krishna from it, then the problem comes is then cooking just becomes a burden. You know, as we were discussing the other day, you have someone to cook for, it's easy. You're cooking for yourself, then all kinds of strange and wonderful things come up. You know, like that.
We're trying to do everything for Krishna.
Yes.
And we're trying to serve him. But there's always this unbalancing, chaotic situation, at least in my life. So it means...
Yeah, strange. It's only in your life. I don't think anybody else experiences it.
No, but it's been like that, you know, since the very beginning. And
yes, but if you go back to last life, it was also like that. The one before that, the one before that. And
so it's to make sure we don't...
It's like trying, like we gave the example, it's trying to turn the a toilet into a hotel lobby.
So we don't forget.
It's just not going to happen.
So it means somewhere we do still have some hope.
Yes.
That's why Krishna...
We still have some hope. That means it can also be another aspect. Is that, one, if we're experiencing that it's getting in the way of you enjoying things, but if it's a matter of you're starting to see, no, this is just the way the material world is, then that means it's not coming from the passion and illusion. You're actually starting to see things as they are. Because here, Prabuddha, what he's speaking, this is just what it is. But because we project onto it that by this, if I get money, I'll be happy. If I get a house, I'll be happy. If I have a family, I'll be happy. Yes. Right? All these different things. I have friends. I have social position. I have, you know, whatever it is. I have that, I'll be happy. But in actuality, they don't. If I have this car, I'll be happy. Then the problem is then you have to take care of the car and this and that.
So it means we think we're finished, but we're not actually finished.
No, you just start something. You just acquire something more to give you problem. Right? So that's why then the intelligent person, how much is required to maintain their position and and engage their nature in Krishna's service is all the more they endeavor for. Like, if you only need one car, why have 2 or 10? Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, you hear sometimes celebrities, this one guy, he's not even married, but he's got 30 cars. Does he need 30 cars? Right? He doesn't. You know, even if he drove one a day, it'll take him 30 days to get through the cars. You know, so he does not need. So it's just problem. Where does he keep them? All the space. Then he has to hire people to take care of him. Then all the different things. And that is super, super expensive. Like that. But as long as he feels the happiness from the prestige, it's good. But as soon as then he starts to see this is stupid, or this or that, or he has another taste, then now he'll sell them and give it to charity, or this or that. He'll do something. But the point is everything in the material world is a trouble because it's not connected to Krishna. Once you connect it to Krishna, it's not a trouble. But it doesn't mean that externally there's not obstacles. Because if there's not obstacles, why will you do something? Right? Means the cowherd boys are in Nandagam. Right? At Krishna's house, they're having breakfast. So, now, can they just go wild and play in Mother Jashoda's house? No, that's not going to happen. So they have to go outside. So what does that mean? You have to walk to get out there. But that's part of the fun. You're walking, you're going, you see all the fun that they have as they're walking and shouting in wells and chasing the birds and making faces at the monkeys and, you know, all these different things. They're not chasing the birds, they're chasing behind their shadows and stuff like that. You know, so they're just having fun. And then when they get there, then they have to take care of the cows. The cows wander off. They have to go find. You know, so it just keeps that there's something to do, but they'll always do it for Krishna. And so there's newer and newer tastes in rasa. So when you remove Krishna from it, now we have to be the one that's being pleased by this. Right? So now as Krishna, he likes this activity. And that, or the result of this activity. And so we're doing it to please Krishna. And it's set. But there's unlimited variety. But in the material world, we have to be pleasing ourselves. And so, what pleases the jiva? Service to Krishna. So what in the material world can please you? So it's not the secondary activity. It's not that Mother Jashoda just loves cooking, and she just happens to do it for Krishna. She loves Krishna and parental ras, therefore she cooks. Because it's a means of expression. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why she's doing it. So that's the thing, but we think, no, the cooking's going to make me happy. No, it's cooking for Krishna's going to make me happy. So that's why we just have to take those things that according to our nature, we can engage in Krishna's service and be happy with that. Because it's the expansion beyond that that actually will not make us happy. Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that. Okay. Yeah. We're good? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, Thus, this world and the next cannot give happiness. Shruti says, Tad yateha karma jito loka. Kshiyate evam eva mutra punya jito loka. Kshiyate. Just as this life is destroyed by exhaustion of karmas, so next life is destroyed by exhaustion of pious acts. Now, you've done all your works in this life, and that finishes off. Now you'll get piety for the next life. When that piety runs out, that life's over. Right? Chandogya Upanishad 8.16. However, even at the time of enjoyment, one can see that happiness is mixed with sorrow. Because whatever it is, it's going to be over. You know, you're eating, it's so nice in that, but after a few more bites, then you can't really taste it. And then you keep eating to try to get that taste that you had before, and then now you're stuffed, and now you're suffering from being stuffed. You know, so, yeah. That's how it works. Like that. Yeah, that was just, remember, one devotee was telling me, I forget how he came about, but he was saying that his father would always stop eating before he wanted to. Because the taste is there. Yes. Yes. And he was stuck. So then it was a nice taste. Yes. So he'll have that taste. But then the point is then the anxiety that I could have eaten more, but you don't. So it's still going to be anxiety. But just, he'll remember the nice part of the meal. Well, we'll go, well, that's so full. Right? I always remember the next, what is it, Monday morning after the Sunday feast, right? You swear, I'm not eating that again. No, nothing, you know, like this. And Monday, yeah, Tuesday, yeah, Wednesday, yeah, you know, like this, Thursday, you know, now you start. So then by Sunday, now you're enthusiastic again, and then you go and kill yourself again. Yeah. Yeah, so after some time, then you start to figure out, okay, instead of three full bowls of sweet rice, I'll only eat one. Yeah. And that was just the sweet rice.
Yeah. After we can make the connection.
Yeah, it takes a while. That's the thing. You know, so after 6 months, you start to make a connection. Hey, what's going on here? And that's only because of devotional service. So you have the, you know, Krishna's giving you intelligence. So, but if you were not a devotee, then you'd never figure it out, right?
Another thing is, otherwise there are other people who fast the next week. And only devotees fast. Outside, like, there is no concept of fasting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Unless you're some health food freak, then they're totally... They don't eat. They only fast. Yeah, because otherwise, I think it was the devotees were talking one time that they were out on Sankirtan in some place, and they parked a van somewhere. And they were there, and I think cooking and eating and that, and that they finished, they had some halava left, a whole bunch of halava, and this local dog came. And so they fed some to the dog, and the dog kept eating in that, until it was even laying on its back, it couldn't eat anymore, but it wanted to eat, so they put some and it'd eat like that, you know, like that. It couldn't walk, nothing, like that. And then later the man came along and said, what did you guys do to my dog? That's it. They just keep eating. If you could do it, you just keep going. Therefore, Sri Pripalada continued, therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of the bona fide guru is that he has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation and is able to convince others of these conclusions. Right, so that's the point. By deliberation, then you can apply it in your life, then you can help others in their life. That's the whole point.
You can at least remember the word.
Yes, yes. Well, it keeps coming. But if you asked me the word, I wouldn't remember it. But it keeps coming up. Yes, there it is. I got to write that down, that word. Okay? Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. Right? So those who, deliberating on the scriptures, that realize conclusions, deliberate how to apply them, are able to convince others. then, and so, who such they've taken shelter of the Supreme Lord, right? And giving up material considerations, that it's just want to please Krishna, then you can say they're bona fide spiritual masters. That's your best consideration. Then those in how you say, in pursuit of that would be next, and those who, it's a great idea, then they're next. Like that, yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Now bhakti, the means of crossing samsara, which was previously explained, is described. Please listen. One should surrender to a guru who is skillful. Nishnatam. Oh, that's what nishnatam is, skillful. You know how sometimes you wake up in the morning, there's a word in your head? So one day, I remember it was this nishnatam. I didn't have any idea what it was, but it just goes through your head like hundreds of times. Like that. Okay, skillful in understanding the meaning of the Vedas, shabde, and other scriptures. If he does not have this quality, the faith of the disciple will become weak, since he will not be able to destroy the doubts of the disappointed disciple. He should be, right, he'll become weak because he weakness has come up, but the guru can't dispel those doubts, so he'll remain weak. Right? So that one has doubts, that's normal. But then if they can't be dispelled, that will make one weak, because then there'll be so many doubts. He should be capable as well in realizing the Lord, pare. Otherwise, his mercy will not bear results, right? Because it's not connected to the Lord, how it will actually mercy flow, right? Because it's coming from the Lord. The mercy is coming from Krishna, right? Down through the parampara. Then that's given. So that's why it says those that are able to do this, to preach, that offending them, that's the big problem, right? The other offenses are going to get in the way of your advancing, but they're not going to destroy it. They'll only put it on hold. Mm-hmm. Right? But when you blaspheme the devotees who are dedicated to the Lord, you know, in preaching, because Krishna's mercy comes through them. Yes. Right? When the means, we're talking here, let's say, the Uttamadhikari, but when they act as a Madhyama, then they preach. Because yes. As an Uttama, there's no need to preach. Because everybody's already part and parcel of the Lord. They see everything in Krishna, everything like this. So when they take up the mood of the Madhyama, they preach. Mm-hmm. And so in that, then that mercy, the chit potency then flows, and that's where you get the mercy from. So you get Krishna's mercy through the devotees. Mm-hmm. So if he's not capable as well in realizing the Lord, pare, his mercy will not bear results. So that's why then, when you have the founder, you simply have to, you don't have to come up with the conclusions, the founder already has. We simply have to make it relevant to those around us. Does that make sense? So yeah. The position of being fixed in realization of the Lord is described. He is not under control of anger and greed. Upa samashrayam. Verse 21 lists the qualification of the bona fide guru. Verses 22 to 33 list the qualification of the bona fide disciple, right? Because you hear this and then people go, yeah, but who's like this and this and that and how can I surrender and that? Now we'll hear the bona fide disciple. Then that kind of puts things in perspective.
And there is two verses. Double verse.
22 to 33 means 11 verses. Oh, yes. So one verse described the bona fide spiritual master. Now 11 will describe the bona fide. That's what I'm saying. It puts things in proportion here. Unless it was 23, but it says here 33. Okay, Sri Prabhupada continued. Accepting the bona fide spiritual master as one's life and soul and worshipable deity, the disciple should learn from him the process of pure devotional service. Right? That's the first point that's being made. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, the soul of all souls, is inclined to give himself to his pure devotees. So that's why you want to be a pure devotee. Because Krishna is inclined towards the pure devotees. So, and pure devotee means one who's always inclined towards Krishna. Right? Therefore, the disciple should learn from the spiritual master to serve the Lord without duplicity, and in such a faithful and favorable way that the Supreme Lord, being satisfied, will offer himself to the faithful disciple. Footnote 15. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 21 to 22 to Bhagavad Akramichi Mala, chapter 12, entitled Devotional Service in Practice, Sadhana Bhakti, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. So that's the first thing. So it's like when the devotees ask Prabhupada, what does the initiation mean? He says you accept the spiritual master is as good as God, like that. And then they said, what do you mean? Then he walked out. And so then they're all sitting there and says, but he's been preaching that the guru's not God. And now he said, like they got all confused. And then it was explained anyway, okay. Like that. So. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.